Now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves, to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. O, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. When thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. If you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day.
I'm happy to introduce a gentleman that you all know, and I would indeed ask your prayers for him as he would bring this message. I feel that he does have a message, and I feel it would be worth our while to lend him our ear. So now I give you Ken Orr.
Brother. Candy.
Scripture that we just read was in the 17th chapter of Alma. Those few verses to me sort of capsulize the gospel of Jesus Christ. I guess I'd like to use these verses as a text tonight, and as we go through it, we can maybe read some other scriptures and trust that the Lord will give us a few thoughts about them. It's found on page 441, those that would like to follow along. Now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. I wonder if somebody would like to give us a definition of sin. Ron? That's basically it. I would think breaking the law of God would be sin. How about iniquity? Anyone would like to give us a definition of iniquity? I wasn't sure what it was either. We've heard it so many times and we've read it, but I really never stopped and really asked myself what iniquity was. But I looked it up in the dictionary. It says, very great injustice, a wicked or unjust act. Scripture teaches us that we're to have an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Not against the sinner, but against those things that he may say or do. I think sometimes we're quick to condemn the person. We see someone that does something that we think is wrong, and right away we condemn that person. Maybe have evil thoughts against that person, or harbor ill will or anger. And really, we should look beyond the person and just have a hatred of the sin. This day and age, we live in a very permissive society. Turn on the TV or you turn on the radio, pick up a magazine or a book, and A lot of things we see and read and hear are contrary to the laws of God. And you know, If it's repeated over and over enough times, we sort of become callous to it, and it doesn't shock us anymore. Maybe sometimes it doesn't even upset us. We're to teach our children. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I often think about it when my children are asked if they can watch television. There's a lot of shows that I won't let them watch. Because I know if they watch them that they get ideas that are worldly. There's many things on the TV that conform to the standards of the world. If we're not careful, we could conform to those standards also. Maybe we'd lose our hatred for sin and iniquity. If we lose our hatred for that sin and iniquity, it can creep into our homes, into our lives, into this body of people. I'd like to read a little bit in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For if ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, and have no part of the things of the world. It says we're not even to speak of those things that are done in secret. Brothers and sisters, some of those things that are done in secret, but possibly were done in secret or done openly now, will become a way of life in this nation. We're to hate it. The 66th verse, preach unto them repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves, to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach repentance. What do we preach? Don't we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't that repentance? But we have to teach people what they have to repent of. So if we preach and teach repentance, we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, teach them to humble themselves. I'd like to turn to page 444. Starting at verse 11. Now, my son, I have told you this, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn of me, that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only in and through Christ. Behold, he is the life and the light of the world. Behold, he is the word of truth and righteousness. And now as ye have begun to teach the word, even so I would that ye should continue to teach, and I would that ye would be diligent and temperate in all things. See that ye are not lifted up unto pride. Yea, see that ye do not boast in your own wisdom, nor of your much strength, Use boldness, but not overbearance. And also see that ye bridle all your passions, that ye may be filled with love. See that ye refrain from idleness. Do not pray as the Zoramites do, for ye have seen that they pray to be heard of man and to be praised for their wisdom. Do not say, O God, I thank thee that we are better than our brethren, but rather say, O Lord, forgive my unworthiness, and remember my brethren in mercy, yea, acknowledge your unworthiness before God at all times. May the Lord bless your soul and receive you at the last day into his kingdom to sit down in peace. Turn to page 220. Second chapter of Mosiah. Ninth verse. And I say unto you, if you have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of man, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith, even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of this mortal of the mortal body, I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation, through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. We find that we have to put our trust in the Lord and diligent in keeping his commandments, which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or whoever shall be, even unto the end of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain the remission of your sins. You shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, and in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will have not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render every man according to that which is his due. Some of the things that we've been studying in Sunday school. Deal justly one with another. Preach unto them repentance, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, teach them to humble themselves. You know, we can be lifted up and pride in so many ways. We can be lifted up by material wealth, our own ideas, our own knowledge, our own wisdom. We can become self-righteous, think more of ourselves than we really ought to. We have to learn, be able to say we're wrong. We can't say we're wrong. It's a form of pride. Let's turn to James chapter 4. Starting at the 6th verse. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. So that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Teach them to be humble, to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may ask, how do we withstand every temptation? By prayer, by fasting, removing ourselves from tempting situations, maybe more fellowship with those of like faith. Maybe we should add to that. More fellowship with those of like faith in wholesome situations. And sometimes we may find ourselves in situations that aren't wholesome. Studying to pray to keep our minds from evil. Speak one to another of those things of God. Use of the Holy Spirit. I really feel that we have to consciously resist evil, resist the devil. As we read in James, he said, if we resist the devil, he'll flee far from us. But if we don't resist, he could dwell within us. If we don't resist, he can tempt us. He can tempt us more and more each day. But if we resist them, by resisting the adversary and the things that we do to resist, by prayer and study and fasting and fellowship one with another and turning our back on some of those things of the world that would draw us away, we draw closer to God. If we draw closer to God, I really believe that He pours out more of His Spirit in our lives. And if you will, it almost becomes a circle. For the closer we draw to God, the closer He draws to us, and the closer He draws to us, He draws us to Him, and it just keeps getting better. But if we give in to the adversary and allow Him to draw us away, there's a scripture we're going to read a little bit later. It says, quench not the Spirit. But if we continually resist, if we continually give in to the little temptations of the adversary, we grieve the Spirit of God, and now He will withdraw Himself from us. God says that he won't dwell in unholy temples. But there's a promise that he gave us, that he said that he would come and dwell with us. Yeah, it puts a requirement on us. We're to be a holy and a righteous people. But if we are, then he will indeed make his abode with us. If we do those things that are wrong, and we know they're wrong, and we have a knowledge that they're wrong, he will withdraw himself from us. And our plight just keeps getting worse and worse. Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. And resist the adversary, and he'll flee from you. The far-reaching effects of one individual drawing closer to God sort of has a ripple effect through not only this congregation, but through the church and into the world. Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I'd like to read 15 through possibly the 24th, 25th verse. To see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. We're going to speak a little bit about that maybe later. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul said in every situation he learned to be content. That whether he was abased or abounded, he learned to be content in that situation. And being human, sometimes it's very hard to do. To be content in the situation that we're in. Man tends to be someone that grumbles a lot and is discontent and always striving to climb the ladder. We look around and we see others that may have more than we have. If we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, we don't need too much else. Be content with what we have. Let's not be envious one of another. Let us be content with our station in life. And if we strive, prove ourselves, I think we certainly will. Now, speaking spiritually, I think we have to be content with our spiritual life. For if we are, we're not going to progress. I think we always should look upward and strive to improve our spiritual welfare. With all other things, let us be content with what we have. Quench not the Spirit. We spoke concerning that. Probably multitudes of ways that we can quench the Spirit of God. I'm not going to go into it too much, but something to think about. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Because somebody tells you that this is the way it is, don't necessarily believe them. Scripturally proven. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Again, there's divers ways we can appear evil. It doesn't say to abstain from evil, which we all know, but it says abstain from the appearance of evil. All appearance. We may be perfectly innocent, but if we're in a situation that casts a shadow upon us, or someone may say, well, I've seen them doing such and such, and that's not right, even though we may not have done it, quite possibly we're in the wrong. So abstain from all appearance of evil. And again, something to think about, how we can appear evil and how we should conduct ourselves to abstain from that appearance. It says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second Peter, the first chapter. This is a very familiar scripture, I think, to all of us. I'd like to read, starting at the fourth verse, excuse me, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Turning back to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, another familiar scripture. Starting at the 11th verse, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes something on our part, but if we study and are familiar with the commandments of God, strive with all diligence and perseverance to keep them, he'll certainly help us to resist. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Turning back to page 223 again. Third verse, and I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. See that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. And I would that ye should remember that whosoever among you that borroweth of his neighbor should return the thing that he borroweth according as he doth agree, or else thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Continuing in the second chapter, in the 14th verse, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, or one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Is not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith brought with his works, and by works his faith was perfect? The scripture was fulfilled with saying, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him the righteousness that he was called. Thank you. Now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and part of your substance, if ye have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites who deny the faith. Wherefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under foot of men. I think speaking here of temporal things, but I think we could really expand that to include the spiritual. If we don't impart of our spiritual blessings, Matthew. 22nd chapter. Verses 37 through 40. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. And I think by the scriptures that we've read that we find it's very important to have works. To go and show our faith and our belief by the things that we do, the things that we say, the thoughts that we have. For if we say we believe and walk contrary to what we believe, we do great harm to the gospel of Christ. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit. Come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek and lowly in heart. O, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. When thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. Learn wisdom in thy youth. I looked up wisdom. The dictionary said it's knowledge and good judgment based on experience. The quality of being wise. Wise conduct or words. Learn wisdom in thy youth. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. We learn as children from our parents, As we get older and can read and understand for ourselves, we learn from the Scriptures. As children, we learn from those that are older around us. Not that places a great responsibility on each of us who are parents. And it replaces a great responsibility on those of us who our families are grown. For children look up to those that are older. And how they see us talk and act is how they talk and act. Great responsibility is placed upon us. Scripture says that if you teach a child the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I find those very true words. Children learn in the home. Children learn from their mothers and their fathers. Turn to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs are full of wisdom. I'd like to read just a part of the 8th chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'd like to read part of it. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, and at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride, to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the foreign mouth to do is do I hate. It goes on, but I'm not going to read any further. Learn wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Mosiah chapter 2. Verses 25 through 27. And ye will not suffer your children they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, serve the devil who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit, which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another, to serve one another. That's our responsibility as parents. Turn to page 429. Starting at the 218th verse. Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you, yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves, and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning midday and evening. Our jobs, whatever they may be, are our flocks. And we're to pray concerning our jobs and our income. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Can we read those very words just a couple minutes ago? An enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. For our hearts are full and drawn out into prayer continuously, there's not going to be much room for the adversary to enter in. We're fast reaching point in time when we can't be lukewarm. When we can't be walking down the middle of the road. We're fast approaching and reaching that time. We're going to have to be strong and faithful. Brothers and sisters, there are many things coming upon this world, and possibly coming upon many that are in the sound of my voice, that'll try our faith. Maybe, but only our faith and our trust in God will carry us through. Let us be strong. Let us be faithful. Let us learn of God. Let us be workers for the Lord. Let us be a prayerful people. To close, I'm going to reread these verses of Scripture because I feel they're very important. I feel we should study them and apply them to our lives. Teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. O, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Brother Andy said this morning, I'd like to just one more thought. He made a statement this morning that no matter how small our desire is, or how small the information that we may want to know, take it to the Lord. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let your heart be full of thanks unto God. If you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. Please stand.